Let's head down south, and I'm betting that the air quality is much better. We have to go to Illinois for this. Dale Dirkholtz from Grain Cycles. He's an economist and commodity analyst. And Dale, I'm assuming you're breathing much easier than we are today.
No, I'm actually breathing worse because
really?
It's just so humid outside, you can cut it with a knife.
Oof.
You know, it's we do have a lot better crop situation down here than you do up there, no doubt about it. You know, and a lot of that, thankfully, as I was telling Ben before we went on the air over a 3-week period right at the end of June, beginning of July, I had 24 inches of rain.
Holy cats. Yeah, I've heard it's almost like a magical line. Like, you know, it's even southern Minnesota is feeling the effects of the drought a bit, not anywhere near as bad as North Dakota, and northern Minnesota definitely getting hit pretty hard too. But then once you get down into Iowa and your neck of the woods, the drought is not an issue.
No, it's really not. In fact, we got crops that are really uneven down here because it's had too much rain, you know, and you've had a lot of ponding and, you know, the low areas in fields or you know, the draws that go down through fields, you know, they had so much water in them, you know, that the crops really show a little bit of suffering there. But, you know, all in all, you know, the yield potential down here is good. But when you get that kind of rain over a short period of time, you do take the top end off the crop potential, though, because of those ponds and draws, et cetera.
Right. Well, there's money to be made. The commodity prices looking pretty good, pretty much everything you look at. For North Dakota growers, they're hoping they can get some crops to the bin and get it sold, but maybe a lot of money to be made down in your neck of the woods. What are you seeing for the markets right now?
They're in a waiting phase. You know, I think everybody right now is really just waiting for the August crop report itself. You know, like somebody defined here just a day or two ago, I was noticing you take somewhere around 550, 560 on Twitter on December corn futures. Seems to be just like a stall line. You know, nobody wants to buy it. Nobody wants to sell it. So we go a little above, a little below it, and we're just kind of rattling back and forth. And I think that's going to be the same. You know, believe it or not, you know, there are a couple of what I call respectable, real respectable people that have corn yield projections out there that are over 180 bushel for a national average. That would be a new record.
Yeah.
And that, you know, when you look at what's gone on in, you know, what I'll say, western, northwestern Iowa, Minnesota, on up into the Dakotas in particular, you know, everybody's really scratching their heads and going, really?
Yeah.
With numbers like that? And it's really just kind of a who knows. But, you know, a lot of that comes through and looking at crop condition ratings, looking at satellite imagery, things of that nature. But unfortunately, as everybody should have learned last year, satellite imagery doesn't see everything because satellite imagery couldn't pick up that we lost somewhere around 600, 700 corn plants per acre last year compared to what we had in 2018, the last peak. You know, it doesn't see that. This year, you know, I have question marks because we were stressed even down here early on in plant life. What kind of ear size are we going to be having? You know, and we're just now at a point where we can start to look at some of that.
Okay. We have a couple of minutes left, Dale. I just wanted to get a comment from you on livestock and what you're seeing there. Obviously, we're going to have some issues with feed, and I know that the auctions are full because people are trying to downsize, not really sure how they're going to be able to feed their cattle coming up in the fall, mostly North Dakota, but I've heard upper half of Minnesota, a lot of the auction yards, some of them have been opening early, and they've just got a lot of things going through. So pricing and just what do you see?
Well, you know, the one thing you have to remember when you do look at livestock, well, there's two things really. Number one, this is the time of year seasonally where hog numbers are at their lowest. So hog numbers from this point forward tend to go up. Maybe not go up as fast as they have traditionally because maybe with the high grain prices, you know, so far we haven't seen any expansion. We're still seeing a little bit of reduction. So that seasonal increase in numbers as we go from here to the end of the year might be a little less than normal. Cattle, on the flip side of that, this is a time of year when we see prices at their seasonal lowest. Then as we move through the latter part of summer in particular and go on into fall and winter, we see things edge higher. You know, part of this game is going to play out when you look at meat itself is going to be kind of a demand type market. How good is it or isn't it going to be? And, you know, part of that probably comes back into play in how people feel about inflation or not, because I'm hearing some stories, you know, with people thinking, well, if this high inflation is going to, or higher rates of inflation going to be here to stay, does that mean that as I look forward in time, I'm going to be paying ever higher prices for meat? And, you know, people may go through another round of stocking up the freezers again, which is supportive.
Hmm. Well, just about a minute left here, Dale. I want to give you an opportunity for folks that are not familiar with Grain Cycles. How do they get a hold of it, and how can they check it out?
Well, I do a lot of work or do a lot of stuff on Twitter itself, either that or they can get a hold of me through Twitter and come into my email itself. I just kind of semi-retired and kind of still do some things on the side independently itself.
You're a Twitter guy, though. So if they want to look you up, they just look you up under your name for Twitter?
Under Grain Cycles.
Grain Cycles, okay.
So they can find me under my name, too. You know, that's real easy. Yeah, I've been using Twitter since about its inception. And to be very honest, Twitter is a great news source if you're looking for things in terms of commodity news or economic news around the world. Yep. It really is still a really good source for that. Forget the social media aspect of it.
Sure. Dale, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate the insight. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Dale Dirkholtz, located down, I believe he's around the Bloomington, Illinois area. Economist, commodity analyst. He's been around agriculture and the commodity world for a long time. I maybe should have put an emphasis on that. We'll have more farm talk coming up in just a moment.